butt into this one.
You want to get the speakers out?
Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, all the sound of angels' songs, and all this for a king. We could join sing all to Christ our King. How constant, how divine, the song of ours will rise. How constant, how divine, this love of ours will rise. Will rise. Oh, praise Him. Gaze to heaven and raise a joyous noise. The sound of salvation come, the sound of rescued ones, and all this for a king. Angels join to sing, all for Christ our King. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. He is holy. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise. Love so rescuing, how infinitely sweet, this great love that has redeemed. As one we sing, oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy.
Only one person glad to be here today? Okay. Yeah. I never thought I'd put an umbrella on a speaker, but there's all kinds of new things happening today. We're glad that you're here with us to worship, and if it gets a little too rainy, just turn your car on, tune in to 97.7, and you'll hear everything as it needs to be given. I want to share a few things with you this morning before we get started too much with our worship service. Just first of all, some of the things that are coming up. Today is obviously Mother's Day. Pastor Vern's going to speak about that in just a minute. But you'll notice in one of the prayer bulletins that you received is an envelope for the Mother's Day offering to support the Baptist Children's Orphanage and Home. And we've been partners with them for a long time. We always want to support them. And now more than ever, they need our help. So we want to do that by giving that offering, whatever the Lord puts in your heart to share. You can drop that in the envelope, and on the way out, if you want to drop it in the fishing basket, we'll have it over there for you. So make sure you are aware of that. Also wanted to let you know we did have one extra Mark's journal, Mark's Gospel journal. So if you don't have one and you would like it, let me know afterwards, and we'll have it over there, and we'll get it to you first come, first serve kind of thing. A couple of other things going on. We have food available for those who need it. And we've got food in the form of mashed potatoes that are already made. They're frozen. We have egg whites. We have scrambled eggs that are bagged up. We have some other items like that that we have available. If you need food, if there's a shortage of food and you would like some, just let us know. We can get you over in the fellowship hall in the kitchen, and we'll distribute that out. Again, first serve. Or if you know of somebody that needs food or anything like that, or even a little bit of toilet paper, we've got a little bit of that too. We don't want to go crazy with that. But if you know of some needs out there, let us know. We'd like to meet those needs and any way that we can, just to continue to share the love of Christ. Only other thing that I had to share was next week we're going to change up our schedule a little bit. God's blessed us with some clouds today to keep everything nice and cool. But as we're getting closer to summer, it's getting hotter. It's getting warmer. And we want to try to avoid being out here during the hottest time of the day. So next Sunday, we're going to switch to having only evening service. We're just going to have an evening service next Sunday. So instead of 10 o'clock, we're going to meet here. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a worship service because the whole field is covered in shade at that time, so it'll be nice. What we're planning to do is we begin to phase back together, is we're going to open this area up here in the front and in the first parking spots for your lawn chairs. So if you want to bring your lawn chairs, you want to gather together, not too close, but still out in the open air, we're going to make that available so that we can just kind of sit together and fellowship together. Hopefully it won't rain next Sunday night, but we'll have that available to us. We're hoping to do that for the next couple of weeks in May, and we're hoping and praying that we'll be able to get back in our sanctuary and worship together as we get into June. But what we're also going to do next Sunday is for any Sunday school classes, adult Sunday school classes, the children will not be having their Sunday school class, but any adult Sunday school classes that want to begin to meet again at 5:30, if they would like to meet, we're going to offer that. Now, if your Sunday school class wants to meet, and it's not mandatory, it's all voluntary. If you don't feel comfortable yet, you don't have to. If your Sunday school class wants to meet, please contact the church office this week and let us know, because we're going to do some planning so that we make certain that everybody is good and distanced, and we're going to have maybe some classes in the gymnasium so that we can spread everybody out, and we'll have that time. Some classes might even want to meet outside if it's nice in certain areas where there's shade. They can just go ahead and bring their lawn chairs and meet together. But we want to make that available. We're excited that we're, as a community, moving back toward getting back together. So we'll do that next week. Again, I'll announce it at the end just to remind you, but that's kind of the direction we're moving. Other than that, I want to lead us in prayer, because we need to get back focused on why we're here, and that's to worship the Lord. As we pray together, I want to remind you of a prayer request that I just found out. Miss Betty Pageant's great niece, her name is Sarah. She's been missing for a little while, and they don't know where she is. So we want to just lift that situation up. She lives in Mobile, Alabama, but her family hasn't heard from her in a while. I believe she said 2 weeks. Is that right, Miss Betty? 1 week they haven't heard, and she's about 25, I think. So please be in prayer for her and whatever situation's going on in her life. And let me open us up in prayer and get our focus on Christ. That's why we're here, to exalt our Lord and Savior. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this time to be able to come together, for the coolness of this day, the refreshing reminder that you provide all things. You rain down on us. You shower us with your blessings, with your protection, with your great love. Right now, we ask specifically in the name of Christ Jesus that you would shower down blessings on Sarah, that you would just protect her wherever she is, that you would allow her to be able to contact her family, let them know that everything's okay. We pray for her safety. We pray for her return. We pray for whatever's going on in that situation, that she will be able to reunite with her family, and that she is safe and that she is not harmed. And God, we just thank you again for allowing us to come together as a church to gather, because we are your people. It doesn't matter where we meet or what time we meet. All that matters is that we're worshiping you and honoring you. So God, at this moment, we ask you, clear our thoughts, clear our all of the things that are going on in our life right now, all of the fears and the anxieties, and let us bring our focus and our heart's attention and come before your throne now, Lord, and let us worship you. Let us honor you. We pray in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. All right, we don't have time. All right, if you have any questions on the way out after the service, I'm going to announce it again, but if you have any questions, you can just pull over on the side when the service is over with, and I'll answer any questions you might have about the new phase of coming together and how it starts next week.
If you're having some difficulties receiving, you honk your horn real quick.
Try a different station. Can you hear in the speakers? We'll just have to be really loud. Remember, it's 97.7. Tell the person beside you in case they don't know. 97.7. Thank you. Yeah, that's all right. If you're in the very back and you can't hear or you're having trouble hearing through the speakers, from the speakers, we might have you drive around up front and pull up in the front area here just so you can hear a little bit better. So anybody that's in the very back, if you can't hear through the speakers, I can't promise you that the radio is going to work today for some reason. Maybe it's the rain. Maybe it's the antenna. We're not sure. Pastor Vern, why don't you come on up while they're getting that, and we'll pray for Mother's Day and think about that. All right, are you hearing any better in your radios now? Yeah. That's a yes, I guess. All right, good. Problem solved. Never mind.
All right. Life throws a little curveballs at us sometimes. Let's just take a few moments. I know I need a few moments. Just to settle down a little bit, prepare our hearts for worship, to focus on why we're here this morning, to praise our Savior together. Him for his grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was many days. and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far.
Your microphone. Oh, thank you. All right. So as you know, today is Mother's Day. Mother's Day. So when you came in, there was a gift for those of you who are mothers. If you did not get one, we can get that to you. So if you didn't get one, just go ahead and honk your horn. All right. So there's at least two there. We will try to get one to you here in just a minute. But I just want to thank all the mothers that are out there for oftentimes doing a job that is thankless. Oftentimes you guys don't get the recognition that you deserve or need. And it just makes me think of my mother and all the things that she sacrificed, through raising six children, five of which were boys, me being the last one, obviously the best for last. But I just think of all the things that she went out without my entire life. And she's just a strong, caring woman that if you ask her to pray, she will pray all night long. And I'm just very thankful for my mother, just as I'm sure so many people out there are thankful for theirs. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give our scripture reading, and then I'm going to pray. But I'm going to pray for specifically for mothers this morning and just thanking you for all that you do. But our scripture reading this morning is out of Numbers chapter 27, verses 16 through 17. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning. Even in the current conditions, Father, we still praise you that we have just this opportunity, the availability and the resources to gather this way, to still meet as a church family. And I praise you for that, and I ask and hope that you are glorified through our actions this morning, through our worship this morning. Father, I pray for all the moms that are here. I just ask that you would just allow them to know and understand how important they are to the lives of their children, how blessed they are. Father, I thank you for just all the times they go without to provide for their children. Father, I ask that you would just continue to bless them. Father, I thank you for the tithes and offerings that are going to be brought forth this morning, and I pray that they're used for your will and your glory. Father, I pray for this church. I pray that we can be an example in this community. I pray that the members here can be an example in this community. You just continue to work in our hearts and our minds. I pray for Pastor Tony as he comes this morning and delivers a message. I ask that you would speak through him. I ask that you would just prepare our hearts and minds for that. And I just thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so this song is called Kindness, and as we know in Romans chapter 2, it talks about, well, and this song says, your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. And when we think about what God has done for us, the kindness that Christ has shown to us when we were undeserving, we know, we see that it's kindness beyond compare, and that should lead us to repentance. But at the same time, Romans also tells us that the message of the cross, or 1 Corinthians, sorry, tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us being saved, it's the power of God. So the same message is foolishness to one, but the power of God to another. Some don't see that kindness, and it doesn't lead them to repentance, but for those of us who see that, we know it's only by what Christ has done for us and his kindness that leads us to that point, and so we've been given the charge to continue on with that kindness and show it to someone else in hopes that they will see the kindness of Christ and it will lead them to repentance also. So let's sing this song together.
Open up the skies of mercy, rain down the cleansing flood, healing waters rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord, let them rise. Your kindness, Lord, leads to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than life. We can feel your mercy falling. You are turning our hearts back again. Hear our praises rise to heaven. Draw us near, Lord. Meet us here. It's your kindness, Lord, leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love, your kindness, Lord, leads to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love, better than life.
Amen. So, I don't know if you know why there's technical difficulties, to remind us that we're human. Nothing ever works perfectly. Every once in a while, God just needs to remind us that everything's not going to work perfectly. Get us out of our routine. As a matter of fact, he's done a lot of getting us out of our routine lately. So, we thank God for those technical difficulties. But I thank God even more for those who, like these guys here, who've been getting here early in the morning, setting all this stuff up and getting it to work. So, we thank God for this avenue of being able to get the word out. And we're going to continue our walk through Mark's gospel today. As we study through Mark's gospel, it's really a gospel about discipleship. And we get to one of my favorite passages of scripture today, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men. And we know that were women and children there as well. So the number was maybe almost as twice as much as 5,000. But it's a beautiful parallel of what God was doing in the Exodus and taking his own people out. And it very, very much is a significant story, because all four Gospels record a version of it. They all four Gospels reported on it. Of course, Mark's is the earliest written, and he writes, and his is got you know, a few little details in it that other ones might not have. And we get to see this beautiful picture, a parallel of the Exodus from the Old Testament. It reminds us of a lot of things, and it reminds us that Jesus himself was actually leading a new Exodus. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, too. He was leading a new Exodus because he was reminding us that we're not from here. We are aliens. We're just sojourners. We're just moving through this world. We have something much greater waiting on us. We have something much better that we're moving toward. So we're exiting this world and the flesh and the sin and the consequences of all the sin that ravaged this world, that make it the place that it is, and the little glimpses of peace and joy and things that we see in this world are pointing to something that's so much greater. So Jesus was here. He was God incarnate in order to lead a people out of their bondage to sin and slavery to sin. And that's kind of what we're seeing in all of these little things that Mark is recording for the disciples and for us to learn, is that we are his followers, and we're to follow him on this exodus out of this world to what he has waiting on us and waiting before us. The breaking news for this event as we approach it is that Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. And that's the Old Testament name for God, that is the Lord provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is the great provider. He's the one that takes care of our needs and takes care of all those things. He protects us and he watches over us. So as we come to this, just to give you a little background before we read the passage, it was nearing the Passover. Jesus was kind of bringing his Galilean ministry to a little bit of a close. He had just sent his disciples out two by two to go out and proclaim the coming of the kingdom. They were on their way back. Mark tells the story of Herod and him beheading John the Baptist. And now in verses 30 and 31, we see the disciples have come back and they're starting to tell their story. They're making their report about what was going on. Jesus had been working the whole time they were gone. So everybody's pretty tired at this point. They're pretty worn out. They need a little bit of a rest. And that's where we pick up. So look with me, if you will. If you have a copy of God's Word, open to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32, first of all. Verse 30 says, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.' For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." The first thing we see, and I want you to begin to understand the imagery that Mark is putting forward, is Jesus is seen as the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And he's going to provide them, first of all, with rest. It blesses my heart to read this passage of Scripture and see that our God cares about our rest. He cares about so much more than we think at times. He cares about our individual situations and our rest. Jesus is seen here now with his disciples who have come back after this long, tedious missionary journey that they were on. They were traveling. They've arrived back. They're trying to tell him about what's going on. But this whole time, he's had people and he's ministering to them. And there's so many that they can't even eat. They don't even have a chance to eat. Now, we know what that's like sometimes, chaotic situations where there's so much going on and you're so busy and you're doing things and you just don't even have time to stop. Sometimes you don't even think about eating. And Jesus cares enough about his disciples now to tell them, hey, let's take a break. Let's get in the boat and we're going to go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and we're just going to have a time together to rest. I believe one of the things that Jesus was doing was he wanted to spend time with his Father. He wanted to, again, go in prayer as he's beginning to close this Galilean ministry down and he's taking one more step closer to the cross. He wants to spend that intimate time with the Father, but he also wants to spend that time with the disciples. I believe he wanted to teach them as well about what rest is, about how important it is for us to watch after our own selves and make certain that we're taking the rest that we need to, because for some of us, work becomes an idol. And a lot of times work becomes the adulterous relationship that keeps us from our marriage or keeps us from parenting. Work can step in our lives and really cause damage in a lot of ways if we don't put it in the right priority. Jesus is helping them to see the right priorities. He's helping them to see their need for rest. He's helping them in so many different ways as the great shepherd. So he was leading them to a place of rest. And I want you to notice as we read it in a little bit, it's a place of rest by still waters, because as they go over the sea, Mark doesn't describe any kind of storm. He doesn't describe any kind of waves. And every other time they're on the sea, in Mark, he describes that. So it's a calmness right now over the Sea of Galilee as they pass across and go to the other side. A great day to be out on the lake for you fishermen. You would love to be out there. No wind, right? A glass kind of a surface. Jesus knows the importance of rest. He leads them to that time. We know because Mark says that they didn't even have time to eat. And this is a good word for us workaholics. And I say us because I've been guilty of it as well. Yes, the message of Jesus Christ is urgent and we need to get it out there. But if we burn ourselves out, we won't be able to get the message of Christ out anyway. So we have to take care. We've got to make certain that we're resting. But what I want you to notice about this rest is that true rest is not necessarily the absence of work. A lot of times we get in our minds that rest means Saturday morning I'm sleeping in and I'm not doing anything. Nothing. I'm going to stay in my PJs like I've been quarantined or something. And I'm not going to get out of the house. I'm just going to sit there all day long and do nothing. But perfect rest, true rest, the rest that I believe that Jesus was even talking about here, doesn't mean that they're not necessarily going to do anything. True rest comes when we rest in the presence of God. When we rest in His presence, that's where we find rest. When we abide with Him, that's where we are restored in our spirit. That's where we're restored and we're nourished on God's Word. Because as we get further into this event that Mark is reporting, they don't get much of a rest, but they get to hear God's Word. They get to be with Jesus. And that's the most important thing I want you to see. Because I could tell you today, yes, it's important for us to rest our physical bodies. At times, it's important for us just to take a break and sleep in late. Yes. But true rest for the weary soul is not going to be found in a vacation. It's not going to be found at a resort. It's going to be found when you abide in the presence of your Lord and Savior. When you find yourself in His presence, then you can cast off your burdens. Then you can relieve your fears. Then you can not worry. You can know that He's going to provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. And that's the important aspect of rest that we need to recognize. Jesus was showing this to the disciples. They weren't even able to eat because so many people are around them. So He gets them in the boat and He starts to head out. And they're spending that time with Jesus. Kind of, I want you to picture more of a leisurely lake cruise is what they were on that evening or that morning as they sailed across the Sea of Galilee. They were together. Maybe they were eating as they were just letting the wind drift them across to the other side of the sea. But they were resting because they were in the presence of Jesus. Exodus 33:14, God promised His people as they were going. He promised Moses. He said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Now the interesting thing is God was calling His people to leave Egypt, to pack up everything they had, to walk out of the place where they had lived, and to walk across the sea, across the desert, into a brand new land. Now that's a trip, that's a journey, that's not rest, right? Not rest like we think. But that's why we see here, when God says, "My presence will be with you, and I will give you rest." More than anything, as disciples, as followers of Christ today, I want you to hear me loud and clear. True rest comes when you abide with Christ, no matter what you're doing. No matter what you're going through, no matter what work or physical activity you're doing, true rest comes in the presence of your Redeemer. So that was their plan. They set off to go away. Next, I want us to look at the second part, the feeding of the 5,000. Because I want to walk through this event and see the parallels that he brings about. So open with me, if you haven't closed your Bibles yet, Mark chapter 6, verses 33 through 44. Beginning in verse 33. "Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when he When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go in the village and the surrounding countryside and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass, so that they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Remarkable story. So many parallels with what's going on in the Exodus as God was carrying the people out and as he was feeding them and taking care of their needs. So the crowd, we know, as John's gospel tells us, was fascinated with Jesus. They were following him all over the place because they wanted him to give them earthly goods. They wanted him to heal their diseases. They wanted him to feed them. They wanted him to take care of them as a king on earth. So they were fascinated with Jesus, and they were following him for their own desires instead of following him like they should in trusting him as Savior. So they see him going, and they don't want this to end. They see him going. They see that he's going across the lake. So they begin to run on foot. Now, Mark's gospel is the only one that says that they actually arrived before he made it to the other side. So they were able to run. Some of them who were physically fit were able to run the 8 to 10 miles around the north end of the lake before they were able to sail about 4 miles across to the other side of the lake. And we know it was there wasn't a whole lot of wind. Mark would have said it. He does in other places. So it was probably, as I said, a calm, nice, peaceful little journey over to the other side of the lake. As the crowds were running around there, and the first ones who were more physically fit get around there, and they're waiting on them to arrive, and the rest are coming down as Jesus exits the boat. So hopefully Jesus and his disciples were able to have that time together in the boat. They were able to maybe have a few moments before the whole crowd got there in front of Jesus. But in a desolate place where no villages were, Jesus gets out of the boat and he begins to put the focus, and Mark puts the focus on Jesus' response. Mark says that Jesus had compassion on them. Now I can imagine me, if I was one of the disciples, I'd have been irritated. I'd have been, great, these people are interrupting us again. I was about to spend some good time with Jesus. We were going to eat some breakfast. We were going to have a nice little time. And all of a sudden, these stinking people are back again. Wow. If it wasn't for people, the place would be a great situation, right? But Mark doesn't focus on what the disciples were thinking. He focuses on what Jesus, the great shepherd, was thinking. And Jesus doesn't see these people who have interrupted his time of rest. He doesn't see them as an interruption. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd, and compassion pours forth from him. So not only do we have a Savior who is concerned over the rest of his disciples and wanting them to be with him, but now we see a Savior who has compassion for people who have no leadership in their life. People who have no direction. They're wandering around as if they have nothing to help them find any direction in life. No purpose, no reason. They're just seeking after something. They're seeking after whatever the wind blows their way. And the next day, if they find something better, they're going to go that direction. And Jesus looks at the crowd that's coming, and he has great compassion on them. The lost sheep of Israel were often a term that the Old Testament used to help show and kind of describe Israel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 5 describes them this way. Ezekiel 34, verse 5. "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beast. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the place." Pastor Vern read a passage of scripture from Numbers that described the Old Testament people of Israel like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees with compassion. We as disciples need to learn to see with compassion. Instead of seeing the world around us, even if there's opposition, to the truth that we know that God's word speaks, we got to see with compassion. We've got to see and understand that people who don't have the truth, what are they basing their lives on? Because we all, as we've been looking in this discipleship study, we are all going to be influenced and we're all going to follow something in this world. And if the vast majority of the people that we come in contact with have not the truth to teach them what to follow, we need to have compassion on them to show them the truth. And that's what Jesus does. So Jesus teaches them. That's interesting. He has compassion on them because they are sheep without a shepherd. And the first thing he does is spends the whole day teaching them the truth. Why? Because the truth was the most important thing that they needed. Whether they heard it or not, they needed it. Some of them accepted it, some of them didn't accept it. But being with Jesus, they heard the truth. So he nourishes them spiritually. And then that need for spiritual food becomes physical need for food. As the day wears on, they get more and more hungry. The disciples are recognizing this and they come to Jesus and say, "Hey, look, we're out in the middle of nowhere, Jesus. There's nothing around. There's no Wendy's. There's no Popeyes. There's nothing. What are we going to do? What are the people going to do? You need to send them away." So their first instinct is to do something from a human response. Send them away, Jesus. Maybe we'll finally get that rest that we want. Send them away. They'll go get something to eat and we'll be able to rest. Send them away, Jesus, to a place where they can get food. So there's a little bit of concern there, maybe from the disciples. They want to make sure that the people get food. They want to make sure that they have the needs that they have. But Jesus takes this opportunity then in the middle of nowhere in an isolated place to teach the disciples something remarkable. The disciples kind of sounded like, as we make the comparison, the people of Israel. When Moses was leading them out and they continued to get hungry and they would say, "Oh man, if we were back in Egypt, we'd have a pot of meat on the stove. We'd have all the bread that we want. Oh, life was so much better back then when we were in slavery." I mean, what were they thinking? But that's what they were saying. So often we do the same thing. We think back to our life before and we think, "Oh man, you know, I had some of those things then." And we forget that the God of all provision is standing right in front of us. And they weren't able to see that. So they were more focused on what the old life had. So they sound like the old Israelites. Then we see that same thing mentioned in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. "And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, 'Would that they died by the hand, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger.'" It was after that that God provided a miracle in the desert of manna coming down from heaven. Now this picture that Mark is showing us with the feeding of the 5,000 is that bread from heaven, who is Jesus, God's provision for us for life. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful parallel we have here. So Jesus, being that master discipler, that maker of disciples, calls them to do something themselves. Because they've gone to Jesus and they've said, look, kind of rudely, it almost reminds me of the way they approached Jesus when he was surrounded by the crowd. And they said, "You know what, Jesus, there's a lot of people in this crowd. There's a lot of people touching you," when he asked, "Who touched me?" They're kind of being rude. They're kind of being sarcastic as they tell Jesus, "You know, it would take a lot of money to feed these people, Jesus. We need to send them away. They're not going to be able to get bread. We can't provide for them." It's almost like they're being Captain Obvious and telling Jesus something that he doesn't know. But Jesus, in his compassion and his love, very patient, like a parent with a child, like a mother, since it's Mother's Day, with a child, patiently tells them what to do next. He gives them a test. He gives them another assignment. They've just come back two by two from their mission, where he empowered them to heal people, to preach with authority, to cast out demons. And now he gives them another assignment. And they can't think about the power of God, the first thing they think of is the power of man. Well, you know what? Even if we had 200 denarii, we had all this money, we still wouldn't be able to feed this huge crowd. And they forget about the provision from heaven that's standing right in front of them. Don't we do that all the time? Don't we pray like that all the time? God, we tell God the obvious, like what he needs to do. They were commanding Jesus here. They were telling Jesus to obey them. Do you see the roles turning and switching there? We as disciples are to follow Jesus. We don't tell him what to do. We listen for him to tell us what to do. But they're still, they're doing just the same thing that we do, sometimes in prayer, telling God what he should do instead of asking him, God, what should we do? So Jesus tells them, you give them food. And when they come back to him, he tells them, all right, take stock of what you have. It's almost like he's trying to lead them along here with little bits. What do you have available to you? The God of all heaven who sends down the bread from heaven, he's available to them, but they still don't see it. So how many loaves do you have? 5 loaves. Fish? 2 fish. All right. Then he begins to organize the chaos. He sits them in groups out on the green grass. Now, remember that. Why would Mark say green grass? There's a reason for that. So he sits them in groups. He thanks God for the food, giving that example of gratitude to God. Still to this day, that's our example. We pray before we eat because God, Jesus, the bread of heaven, looked up to heaven and thanked God for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that were just a drop in a bucket compared to the big crowd. But because of his recognition of gratitude, because of his understanding of who is the great provider, Jesus manifested bread. He created bread and fish in that moment. So we see the God of heaven, not only the bread of heaven, but the creator of all things who makes food and passes it out in a way that provides for every single person. Now you can't help but see Israel as they would go out every morning and pick up the manna and make bread, as they would go out and they would pick up the quail that God provided for 40 years in the desert for almost 2 million people. He provided everything that they needed. Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. So Jesus gives this example to them. He lays all those things out. He gives thanks. They divide it up. Everyone eats, notice, to their fill. They are totally satisfied. And then after they're done, Mark gives another detail to the story. Now, why would Mark do this detail? There's a reason. He says, you go out. He's talking to the disciples, the same ones who did not see that Jesus was the great provider, the same ones that could not figure out how to provide for these people. He says, you go out and you pick up the leftover. So each one of them having a basket, probably kind of a day pack basket that they carried along with them. They walk through the crowds of 50 and 100. They pick up the broken pieces of bread. They pick up the fish that haven't been eaten. This was a normal lunch that people would have had, a salted pickled fish and little flatbread biscuits. They pick it all up and it ends up being 12 basketfuls. Provisions for them to use for the next day, each one of them having it. Why 12? There's a reason for that. Because God is bringing this parallel of him providing for the 12 tribes all throughout the time of their exodus. And Jesus is now leading a new exodus out of slavery to sin. And he is the provider. He's the one who is the bread from heaven. And every single one of those disciples who had doubted before now had God's provision right in their hands. This was a lesson they would never forget. A lesson of God's great provisions. The bread from heaven. A stark reminder that Jesus is the manna from heaven. We see Jesus is the deliverer. We see that he is the great shepherd. And that's above all one of the things that I believe Jesus is showing them here. Mark says that he had them sit down on green grass. He could have just said he had them sit down. Why did he say green grass? Why were they beside the still waters of the Sea of Galilee that morning? Because we see Psalm 23, which most of us would look at and think, oh, that's a psalm of that we hear at funerals. That's a psalm that talks about walking through a deadly situation, but this is the disciples' psalm. Why? Because a disciple is one who follows the shepherd. And this is a shepherd's psalm. What Mark shows us here is a beautiful parallel, not only of the Exodus, not only of Jesus and what he was doing in delivering the people from sin, but he shows him as the great shepherd who would lead them beside still waters and set them in green pastures that they might have their fill, who would protect them from death. See, sheep, and we know the tribes of Israel were like lost sheep without a shepherd. Sheep are the dumbest of all animals. They can't take care of themselves. They can't protect themselves. If they don't have someone to lead them and guide them, they're going to get lost. They're going to become food for wolves. They're going to cripple themselves and fall down a mountain, or they'll starve to death because they don't know where to find food. That's what God is comparing us to in here. We're sheep who naturally will chase after death and will find ourselves starved and broken. So when Jesus looks at this crowd of people and he has compassion on them, Psalm 23 stands out. And I want to read that right now. And I wanted you to listen to this as a disciple's psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. You guys, come on up. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, the great shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't want you to think of this psalm as a funeral psalm today. I want you to think of it as the disciples' psalm. I want you to understand that Jesus comes to us today as the great shepherd, and to find rest, to find protection, to find comfort, we find it in him alone. So no matter what you're walking through today, no matter what valley, no matter what shadow of death, no matter what ill that you're facing, no matter what worries you have, there is one shepherd that can lead us to hope, to comfort, to rest, to protection, and to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is Jesus Christ. I want to share that with you today. Because if you're here today and you don't know him as Lord and Savior, and you haven't begun a relationship of following him, then what the Bible clearly tells us is you are a sheep without a shepherd, running astray. And the only end is death. But if you want life today, then as you exit today, I want you to just pull off to the side, because I want to share that with you. I want you to know the hope of following the great shepherd. I want you to know the peace of laying down in green pastures and of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Would you worship with me as we come together and we sing song of worship to our great shepherd today, Jesus our King.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in heaven. this babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse is lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
You know, I'm really going to miss those horn blows when we get back in the sanctuary.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. There's a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. A strong and mighty tower, your name is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, Jesus. Your name, the strong and mighty tower, your name, is a shelter like no other, your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name.
Amen. I hope you believe that. God's name be praised. Glad to have you here today. Just a couple of reminders of the things that I had mentioned earlier. And when we release, we're going to do it like we've been doing it every week, just a little orderly. The first row goes first, then the second row, then the third row. It's a little late to mention it now, but we do have bathrooms available for anybody. You've seen a few people having to get up and go out there. So next week, you'll remember. But more than that, next week, don't be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. Unless you want to bring breakfast. But come at 7 o'clock next Sunday night. We're going to have our worship service at 7 o'clock in the evening. That's our only service on Sunday. It'll be 7 o'clock in that evening. And we'll meet out here. If you want to bring lawn chairs, this first little area will be open. We're going to spread out. But we'll have that available. So take advantage of the nice weather and the coolness of the evening. And if your Sunday school class wants to meet, and that's going to be up to the teachers and talking with you, we're going to make that available at 5:30. That will be inside. You can do it outside if your Sunday school teacher talks to you about it. And y'all can set up lawn chairs outside in shady spots. It won't be shady here at 5:30, but it will be in certain areas. And I want you to take advantage of that as we thank God for being able to start coming back together and phasing back in. So stay safe. If you have any needs this week, please let us know. And if your Sunday school class does want to meet, let us know. Call the office so we can arrange and plan if you want to use the building so that we can make sure that everybody stays safe and secure. And we also, if you know of any needs for food, we have some food items. Myron's going to be over there for about 10 minutes at the fellowship hall. So if you need some of these things like mashed potatoes and some different eggs and whipped cream and a few other little items like that, go over there. You can meet him. Or if you know of somebody that needs it in the neighborhood, go over there and meet him. He'll be there for about 10 minutes. If you'd like to talk with me, I'm going to meet you right over here and you can just pull off to the side. I'd love to talk with you. And don't forget about your Mother's Day offering for the Baptist Children's Home. Do you have anything for us, John? All right. We're going to be dismissed. I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed and drive out. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy today. We thank you that you allow us to come together, that we have this opportunity to gather as a church and remember that the body of Christ is the gathered group of believers, those who you've called to follow you. So help us this week to follow you, to rest in you, to find our comfort and strength in you. And Lord, to share the great love of your Son, Jesus Christ, with others. There is no greater hope, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through. We thank you for being our great shepherd. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.